I'll give you a thought the Lord put on my heart this morning. I couldn't figure out why, but I believe the Lord knows exactly what we need when we need it. In your hearing last Sunday morning, I stood and read from Luke chapter number 15. And if God will help me this morning, I want to stand and preach from Luke chapter number 15. The Lord has allowed me to see some things that I've not seen before. This is a precious passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. And he said, this he here is Jesus. If you'll look at verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them. I don't know about you, but if this man's not still receiving sinners, we might as well just close up shop and go to the house. Might as well just pull all the missionaries off the field. Might as well just quit preaching this old book and teaching this old book. How many's glad he's still receiving sinners? I'm glad 28 years ago when I needed him, he was still receiving sinners. The day will come when it'll be too late. But that day's not come yet. He's still receiving sinners. The Bible said here, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, this is Jesus speaking, verse number 11. And he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. He gave both of his sons their inheritance. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Word of God said, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion. I'm going to make a statement. It's possible to have truth without compassion. Aren't you glad we don't have to choose between the two? We can have the truth and have compassion. Our Lord is truth. The Bible said here, he had compassion, and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He He said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. This older brother now, the Bible said, verse 28, was angry. He was angry and would not go in, therefore. It would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that I should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God this morning. I pray, Lord, that somehow you would arrest our attention in this service. Lord, that God, that you would just help us, Lord, to look into the Word of God, Lord, and to see truth that would help us. Lord, help us. I thank you, Father, for the Bible. I thank you, Lord, for these men that are with us today from the Gideons, Lord, that are interested in getting out the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in the Sunday school. Lord, I pray this morning now, Lord, that you'd help us as we break the bread of life. God, will give you glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Word of God said, this man receiveth sinners. I'm of the opinion, and it's a pretty strong opinion on my part. I know when the Lord dealt in my heart about this, that all three of these parables, the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son, are backing up the fact that this man receiveth sinners. I know that you can make application in the parable of the lost son to someone that has maybe come to know the Lord and then went out went their own way for a period of time and then come back. And I won't hold you at fault if you make application, but I believe the primary message that God has given us with the sheep and the silver and the son is that this man, Jesus, receiveth sinners. Amen. I believe that's what he's trying to help us to see. I want to look at several things here today in this story. And Jesus, when he gives a parable, he's just given us an earthly story or an earthly illustration of something that is spiritual, something that is heavenly. He's trying to break it down where that finite men might understand infinite truth, amen? That temporal man might understand eternal truth. And I believe that God wants us to see some things. I want to look at several things just this morning. I want to get done with this message this morning because it's in my heart to do so. The first thing I want to look at is the father. The Word of God said a certain man had two sons. He was a father. I want to give you a couple of truths here about the father. Number one, he allowed his sons to choose. Even when you go back, Brother Brian was talking to us in Sunday school about environment, how the Lord spoke to my heart. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment and yet made the wrong choice. And I believe environment is very important, amen? But I don't believe it's right to trust the environment to get the job done. God gives every one of us a choice. And that's painted, that picture's painted right here in the Word of God. We all have a choice. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house. Oh, I just want to add a little phrase. I'm not going to add my friend in the Bible, but in my own heart, I just want to say, as for me and my house, by the grace of the living God, we're going to serve the Lord. That's the way we need to do it. Amen.
Serve him. Because, my friend, it pays wonderful dividends in this life and in the life to come. He allows us to choose. Let me give you this. The Father, these are truths the Lord showed me. Number two, with the Father, he provides for us even before we make the right choice. Here's a young man that is, my friend, going away from the Father. He's making a wrong choice. But I'll tell you, the Father is still the one that gave him his living. Amen. I'm telling you, before you and I ever were saved by the grace of God, it was him that let us breathe. Him that let our heart beat. Him that let the blood flow through our body. It was him that gave us life itself. He was providing for us and looking out for us before we ever looked to him. The third thing I want you to see is he was there for us. The Father is there for us even when we make the wrong choice. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, let me help you right here. The Son turned his back on the Father. But according to what I can read in this Bible, in this story, the Father never turned his back on his Son. You think about that for just a minute. Did the Father know that he had chosen wrong? Yes, he did. You say, preacher, over there a little bit later, the older son, he says, well, he's devoured his living with harlots. It's my friend, understanding that if the Son knew that, the Father knew it too. Say amen right there. And yet the Father was looking for him. The Father was longing for him. The Father never turned his back on his Son. I'll tell you, he's a precious Father. Sometimes this story is called the prodigal son. I believe it ought to be called the prodigal's father. Amen. He's the main character in here. What a father we have in front of us. I see the Father, but then I see the fallen. You say, preacher, what do you mean by the falling? The Son himself. Look what the Bible said here. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give. Tell me what that next word is. Me. You know what fallen mankind is all about? Me, myself, and I. You go down through this text and you read it. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. It was all about me. The only way that you and I will ever come to a place in our life that others matter is to have a relationship with the Father. Before that, it's all about me. It's all about me. And that's the way it was right here. I see the fallen. I look at his desire. It's about me. It's not about others. Look at his departure. He departs from home. He departs from authority. He departs from decency. Are you listening to me? This young man departs because that's what's in his heart. But the Father never turned his back. He's still looking that way. I see not only a desire, and I not only see a departure, but I see a defeat. You say, preacher, what do you mean? When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Let me just say this to you. This did not happen overnight. The Word of God said he began to be in want. I believe even the day that he left, it didn't happen overnight. I believe it was boiling up in his heart for a long time before he just said, listen, I'm out of here. I'm gone to the far country. But here in the fallen, I would say this. There's nothing but defeat in the far country. I wonder, Brother Ralph, I wonder how many friends he had when he first got there. Had a pocket full of daddy's money. How many knows about fair weather friends? Oh, I tell you, as long as you've got something for them, they're around. Amen. But Monday comes and you've run out of money. Where are they now? Amen. Many of us in this building have lived that way. Friday came and it was payday. Oh, it was party Saturday, party Sunday, and Monday we were miserable and without friends. Because money can't buy friends. Money can't buy friends. He was defeated. You can't win in the far country. I see the father. I see the fallen. I see the far country. Look here. Just three things the Lord let me see in the far country. Number one, there's hunger. There's hunger. The Bible said he spent all. There arose a mighty famine. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. He came to himself. The Bible said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. He's hungry. The hunger. I wrote a little note this morning so I wouldn't forget it. Let me give you this. Please don't get mad at me. I believe it's a mistake for parents to try to feed their kids in the far country. They'll never get hungry. Say amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say a parent that's worth their salt will go to the end of the world for their youngin'. Amen. But I'll tell you right now, you're pouring hole down a ditch and down a hole where you're just pouring money in that hole, and it'll never help anybody till they get hungry. They got to get hungry. This hunger caused some things in his life. Let me give you this, just a couple of things real quickly, and I'll move on. The far country, there was hunger. In the far country, there was harlots. At verse number 30, the older son said, he's devoured thy living with harlots. And let me give you this, in the far country, there was helplessness. If you'll read verse 15 and verse number 16, he's trying his best. He's trying his best, but he can't help himself. He can't get anybody else to help him. That's why he remembered, hey, there's something going on in my father's house. What I need's not here in this country. What I need is at my father's house. The story gets better. You see the father, you see the fallen, you see the far country. Let me give you something here. You see the forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I am so glad we serve a forgiven God. Our Lord went to Calvary and shed his blood and died so that when someone comes like this son did and said, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me as a hired servant. You say, preacher, what are you seeing there in those words? I'm seeing a change in attitude. The pride is gone. There's humility. There's a helplessness. He's saying, Father, I can't help myself. But if you just give me a little place out there in the barn with them servants, I'd be tickled to come back home. Look what the Bible said here. I'll give you several things under this forgiveness. It starts with remembering. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He begins to remember. Let me say something to you, please. You don't fall out with me right here. But years ago, I struggled. With a verse of scripture over there in the book of Proverbs, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I struggled with that verse of scripture. I struggled, but I'll tell you, I believe the Holy Ghost of God let me know what he's talking about there. Some will say this, that is a written guarantee from God. If you train them right and teach them right, they'll come out right. There's only one problem with that. How many of you know somebody a mom and a dad that live for God and love God. Are you listening to me? I'm no preachers, amen, and evangelists and pastors, my friend, that have children in the far country. They trained them right. They prayed over them, but they couldn't take their choice away from them. God allowed them to choose. Let me give you something. Here's what I believe. Some will say this. They'll say, well, it means they may go away for a while, but they'll come back. Well, I believe God could have said that if that's what he meant. Here's what I believe about that verse. Don't fall out with me. Here's what I believe about it. I believe it strongly. Train up a child in the way he should go. I got a daughter sitting in this service. And I'm going to ask her if daddy's right to nod her head up and down. She don't know what I'm about to say. But train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Here's what I believe God's saying. It's the training that they'll never get away from. You can't go far enough in the far country to forget a praying mom and forget a praying dad and forget a Sunday school teacher that taught you the Word of God and forget the songs of Zion and forget this blessed old book. I believe, my friend, listen, when you're brought up right, that training will follow you all the way to your grave. You'll never get away from it. No matter how deep, how dark the hole is. This fellow begins to remember. Business is picking up. Not only does he remember, we see him remembering, but in verse number 18 and verse number 19, this is almost the forgotten preaching in these hours we live in. We see him repenting. He's changing his heart and his mind. There's a change going on down inside of him. All of a sudden, dad's house ain't so bad anymore. It's a whole lot better over yonder than it is where I am. He's repenting. He's practicing what he's going to say. He said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise and go to my father's house. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven. And before thee, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose. You see, it didn't just go on in his mind. He acted. By the way, that's genuine repentance. Amen. You can talk till the cows come home. Amen. But until there's some action put in those words, it doesn't mean anything. They're just empty. He repented. We see him remembering. We see him repenting. Let me just give you this. The Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He's no longer, Brother Travis, longing for the Father's provision. That ain't what it's about. He's longing for the Father's presence. He just wants to be over there with the servants that hang around the Father. Amen. Oh, glory to God this morning. Amen. There's more to life than the stinking stuff. Oh, we get hungry for His presence. We see Him remembering. We see Him repenting. But then in verse 20, in verse number 21, we see Him returning. He arose, he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Evidently, the father, I kind of tell people, I like to deer hunt, and they say, well, how in the world you can't hear thunder? How in the world you ever kill a deer? Well, every once in a while, they flicker their tail or flicker an ear. And if they flicker it out there in the woods, they're in trouble where I'm at. Amen. I can see good. I have to have glasses to read my Bible, but I don't have to have glasses to see out there. I can tell how ugly John Dockery is from all the way up here. But I'm going to tell you, I believe this Father. Brother Ralph, he wasn't just praying. He was expecting an answer to his prayer. He was looking down that road. That son comes returning. Oh, beloved, he remembers. He repents. He returns.
Verse 21, the son said unto him, same thing he practiced. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Let me just give you something right quickly. In my own self and in your own self, we've never been worthy to be called his son. Beloved, it's the robe, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he drapes over us that makes us sons in the family of God. It goes a little further. Watch this now. We see him receiving. In verse 22, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. In verse 21. But in verse 22 opens with the word but. But the father said to his servants. He said, preacher, what's the big idea? What's the big deal about the word but? What it tells me, Brother David, is this. The father has a different idea about it than the son has. Aren't you glad? I'm being honest with you. The night God saved me, all I was interested in was staying out of hell. I could see myself going to hell at a breakneck speed, and I did not want to go to hell. I tell you, all I was interested in was staying out of hell, but can I tell you, my father was interested in a whole lot more than I was interested in. I had no idea what to expect. The son had no idea what to expect. But just make me a pallet out there with them servants. In Bible days, they would have been like slaves. Amen? Just make me a pallet out there. I'm not going to complain anymore when it's time to feed the chickens. I'm not going to complain anymore when it's time to milk the cows. I'm not going to complain anymore when it's time to make my bed. How many's following me here? One young man, he told us, he thought his dad, he said, I'm sick and tired of your rules. I'm sick and tired of the regulations. And he said, son, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to join the Marines. He needed to stop at the first emergency room that he come to and let him run an MRI on his head and see if there's anything between his ears. Amen. The rules and the regulations just get more stringent. Let me just say this. God help me right here. Let me say this. Every one of us enjoys freedom and we want freedom, but with freedom comes responsibility. What we have, if we're not careful, is a generation of people. They want liberty, but they don't want responsibility that goes with it. My dad used to say, son, check the oil. He said, the gas will check itself. You say, what's that got to do with responsibility? If you've ever had an engine to lock up on you, well, then you'll know what that has to do with responsibility. My daughter Charity and Laura sang this morning. I was able to scrap enough money together when they went off to college and get them a little car. It wasn't no new car. I think one of them's car cost $4,000 and the other one cost $5,500. And I told them both. I said, Daddy's doing this for you and I love you. But I said, you run it without oil, you'll be making car payments. You wreck it, you'll be making car payments. Charity was tore all to pieces, wrecked down here at the Walmart. I said, baby, you know what this means? She said, yeah, Daddy, I'll be making car payments. Been making them ever since. What are you trying to say?
It's good to be able to drive. It's good to be able to get your license. It's good to be able to get out and go across Kingsport and across the county. Amen. But it's responsibility comes with that freedom. Here, this young man returns. His father receives him. And then there's rejoicing. The Bible tells us in these other two parables, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. More than 99 just persons who need no repentance. This morning, this father is elated. He is thrilled that his son has come home. There's rejoicing. Can I say this morning? Please hear me well right here. The church is important. The body of Christ is important. Listen to me carefully right here. But I want to go on record as saying it's a blessing not only to help one another carry each other's burdens, but brothers and sisters, when God answers prayer, it's a blessing to have somebody to rejoice with. Amen. This father wanted to have a good time. He wanted to, by the way, you got the robe and the ring and the shoes. Let me just say this. I'll throw this out there. You can have this free. Everything else, $500. This is free. He wanted him to look like his son. He received him like a son, and he wanted him to look like his son. He didn't want him to look like a servant. He wanted him to look like his son. There's the forgiveness. The last thing I see here is the foolish. You say, preacher, what do you see that's foolish? This elder brother. This elder brother says he's out in the field and he heard about the music. He heard the music and they were dancing and celebrating and rejoicing. He called one of his servants and he asked what these things meant. And he said, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. I'm going to say something because I love you. But if you don't rejoice when others get saved, it's time to check up. Oh, you say, preacher, I used to have people say, what in the world are you going to them prisons and preaching for? I tell you why. Because God told me to. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe that God can pick men up out of the gutter. Well, I happen to believe the Bible. And God can pick men up out of the gutter. By the way, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done or not done. You was in the gutter too when he found you. If a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. That's pretty guttermost if you ask me. Say amen. This foolish son was angry when he should have been happy. I just want to say this. It's evident to me that he wasn't looking, that he wasn't praying like the father was. It almost seems like he had an attitude. I hope he stays out there with the pigs. I hope I never have to see him again. But I tell you, the father's attitude was entirely different. I can only imagine if there's a famine in the land and you can't afford bread, there probably wasn't a whole lot of soap either. Probably wasn't a whole lot of clean laundry either. And I believe when this father fell on this son, he stunk. I believe he didn't look good. I believe he didn't smell good. But yet the Word of God said he kissed him. I'm glad we have a Father this morning that identifies with us. That's a wonderful truth to think that he bore our sin in his body on the tree. That's a wonderful truth. But what about this? He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know about you this morning, but I just want to go on record as saying, I am so glad that this man receiveth sinners. If he didn't, I wouldn't be standing here today. I'm glad he receiveth sinners. I will tell you, God has given this church so much responsibility. Sister Teresa, the Emmas and the Olivias and the Annalises, they're all going to grow up. I can't remember exactly what Brother Jack said, but it was about Mandy. And when I heard that tape, evidently Mandy was running around his feet at that time. But he said something to the effect, she's going to grow up. And I'll say this, it's not too early to begin to pray that they'll come to themselves and they'll run to the Father and experience the same forgiveness. Let me just say this while I'm there. Some have a wonderful testimony of how that the Lord pulled them out of a sinful life and a sinful lifestyle. Let me give you a better testimony. That the Lord got a hold of them before the world got a hold of them. They can be spared the scars of sin. This morning, he receives sinners. The first step in getting help is this young man was honest. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? We'll never get help in our pride. We'll have to humble ourselves. I met my daughter around the corner here last night. This is what I said to her. I said, honey, last Saturday night at this time, would you have ever dreamed that you'd be here for prayer meeting on a Saturday night? She said, no, Daddy, I didn't. She said, what are you trying to say, preacher? Here's what I'm trying to say. With Christ comes a change. Listen to me carefully. Where did that change begin? I can go back in our conversation and tell you where it began. When she said to me, Daddy, it ain't right, and it ain't never been right, the Lord moved in. But some people, they'll make a profession, live like hell, and tell people, I got saved back yonder, knowing good and well that nothing has ever changed in their life. I'd hate to stand before God with that. Yeah. Because when you meet Him, He will change your life. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible and to preach the Bible. I thank you, Father, for the privilege, Lord, to be in the service today. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Lord, I didn't really want to preach this morning. God, you've been all over it since early this morning. Many times as I've read, Lord, this passage, Lord, you've showed me things, our Lord, I never thought about before. I pray, oh God, this morning, take the message and use it. Help folk not to run from the Father, but to run to Him. Help, Lord, somebody to get so sick of the far country that they would desire a change in their life. That they would desire Christ, a new birth, a holy life. I pray, Father, help us all.